Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women of Wisdom, everyone. I was supposed to have a guest on with me today, but obviously the guest forgot, which sometimes happens in Blog Talk Radio land. The guest normally forgets. Usually my guests are pretty good, but that leads me to my segue. And my segue is actually that when I get home from North Carolina and speaking at University of Virginia, we are actually going to bump the show up to Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays because I can't fit everyone in 2 days a week. I swear I can't. When Annette left me, we were at 101 on our Wolfram Farms, and we are up into the thousands. I keep adding more people. I even have a guest coming on the week of June 22nd. That happened to be my 28th birthday. I can't believe that. But I even have a guest who's coming on the day after my birthday, which happened to be Wednesday morning or Tuesday. And she's coming all the way from London, which is a 7-hour time difference. I just figured that one out this morning. So that's exciting. And I haven't necessarily told you my story yet. My story is a pretty interesting one in itself. For those of you who haven't, iCommaWin is about my journey with cerebral palsy. And also, I have published a YA novel called Review for My Healed. For those of you who don't know what YA stands for, young adult, and it's a young adult empowerment novel. And I'm working on three books as we speak right now. And I am working on a women's empowerment book, Leave a Legacy, Learn Tour for My Speech in North Carolina. And it's so funny, well, not funny, but it's to the point where my story, they wanted me to speak about overcoming rejection and adversity in the workplace. And it's so funny because my story is overcoming rejection to begin with. I mean, cerebral palsy, the TBI, which I don't really like to talk about, because TBI does not cause cerebral palsy. And I'll say that again, a TBI does not cause cerebral palsy. And so what causes cerebral palsy is lack of oxygen to the brain. So anyone that has a TBI, a traumatic brain injury, can automatically get a TBI without getting cerebral palsy. So that's one of the things I want to explain to you guys, that even though I have a traumatic brain injury, i.e. a brain bleed, that didn't cause cerebral palsy. What I'm trying to say is lack of oxygen caused cerebral palsy, and then the brain bleed on top of it. So it's a long story, but in my book, I Win, I explain what it was like growing up with cerebral palsy. Now, in the next couple of weeks, I leave to go on a little bit of a motivational speaking tour. And as I was telling someone today, that speaking at University of Virginia will be easier than speaking in North Carolina, because North Carolina, these people are coming with the knowledge of not knowing the knowledge of cerebral palsy, much less knowing me. So when it comes to the University of Virginia, they have one of the top educational schools in the country. They have one of speech pathology departments in the country. I happen to be a graduate of their speech pathology department. And hang on, I think this is my guest. Joel?
Yes.
How are you, and when? I'm sitting here blabbering away, and I see
Please forgive me for running a little bit behind. I was just in the television studio, and they held me a little long, but here I am.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I am doing this by myself. That's why I was killing time and blabbering away. So I am blessed and honored to have you on my show tonight, and we're actually going to talk about your book and your fascinating career path. And I was looking on your website. I snuck on your website just before we went in and just before I started blathering away. And your website basically says the escape plan. And what that is, for those of you who don't know, is Joel is trying to help us quit our day jobs and basically follow our dreams. Is that correct in me saying that?
Yeah, well, you know, the employee escape plan is designed, you know, there's a lot of people that they have a job and they don't enjoy their job. They don't like it, but they keep it because it's a steady source of income for them. And they would like to start their own business, but they just don't know how. So I have a program where I teach people how to choose the right business and brand it and package it so that they can promote it and persuade people to buy and get their cash register to ring and deliver quality services and, you know, products to the marketplace. So what I'm teaching people to do is to start their own business so they can escape from the job that they don't enjoy.
Basically from ground up. And why did you start this amazing journey?
Well, you know, I've been coaching business owners that already have businesses for many years and helping them get to another level to market more intelligently and so basically sales and marketing more effectively. What I found some of the people that were hiring me had big, giant businesses, but a lot of people were very intrigued with what I do, but they didn't have any business at all. And so I started working with people that had a job and they could pay me, and I teach them how to start their own business and figure out the right business and get their cash register ring. So it was just kind of a natural progression from marketing consulting with existing business owners and identifying that there is a very large group of people that are in pain and they want healing around this career area that sometimes is very painful for them. And I just love helping people. And that's where it came from.
Your title fits well here, because it's like we're trying, I'm trying to teach people that yes, they can write a book despite having a disability, and yes, they can be a solo entrepreneur despite having a disability, even though I have a quote-unquote day job. I love my passion for writing books. That's my passion. And I would, even though I am a teacher, I would love to teach people through my books with about cerebral palsy without being necessarily in the classroom. Hopefully one day that would happen. But I wanted to ask you, how would you go about switching career paths?
Well, I didn't hear the last part of the question.
Let me rephrase that question then. If you had a job that you didn't enjoy, how would you automatically tell people to start their own companies? I mean, basically,
I get the question. Okay, so I believe it's malpractice to give a prescription without a proper diagnosis first. So I don't just right off the bat tell people what to do. We go through a process to find out what are their skills and their abilities and their talents. You know, what are their gifts? What are they good at? So that's the first part. And then, you know, just because you're good at something doesn't mean you're passionate about it. So that's the second place is, you know, we figure out what are you good at? What are you passionate about? And, you know, what can you get paid for? So the marketplace, you know, the marketplace is an interesting place. So we live in a world of problems, correct?
Correct.
So, you know, the thing is, you know, everybody complains, oh, I want my problem solved or I want my problem solved. There's two kinds of problems, Wynn. There's the kind of problems people will pay to solve and the kind of problems people won't pay to solve. So we mix all those three things together. What are you good at? What are you passionate about? And what kind of problems can you solve for people that they'll actually pay for? And when you put those three together, that will help decide, you know, your unique business that you should go into. Does that make sense?
Sense. So not only are you looking at what people are passionate about, you're looking at the deep roots of the problems, what they want to do, and how they can help others.
Absolutely. You know, it's just because you're good at something and you're passionate at it, you know, you got to get paid. And so you need to combine all three. All three are critical. They're all three are essential. If you don't have, if you have a lot of skills but you're not passionate about it, you're going to burn out. You know, if you have a market that will pay you and you're passionate about it, but you don't have the skills, you're going to have to get somebody involved that does have the skills, because you're destined to fail if you don't bring the skills with the passion. Or, you know, if you're good at it and passionate at it, but there's no marketplace, then you have a hobby that nobody's paying you for. And we don't want to do that. I mean, if you're going to start a business, you know, and providing your time and energy and effort and talents and skills, you deserve to get paid.
Well, is a very interesting question. How do you feel about sites like Etsy.com? This wasn't even in my repertoire to ask you, but now since we are doing the passion and doing the payment, how do you feel about Etsy.com and all these artists popping up?
That's Etsy?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure I've been to that website, but you're going to have to bring me up to speed and remind me what they do on there. Is that like a place where artists can sell their art?
Yes. Etsy.com is a place primarily for artists to sell their art. But the problem with Etsy.com is it's something you have, as you said, you have to be really passionate about because you are a solo entrepreneur. So how do you feel about artists making a living off their art?
I want to encourage you, if you're an artist, you know, you need to learn the art. You got to be skillful at the art, and you need to be passionate about it. But it's very important that you find a way that you can get paid. Now, there are sites like Etsy, and I don't know the business model exactly. There's also sites like Fiverr, you know, where you can do things for $5 or $10 or $20 at a time. The most important thing is you want to put your art in a place where people will pay you. Now, the problem with places like Fiverr is, you know, most of the jobs start at getting paid $5. And that's fine. You know, it's a good starting place if you have nothing. You know, I know people that have made, you know, $20,000 and $30,000 and $40,000 a year on Fiverr, but it's not easy. That's a lot of work to get paid a little bit of money. So those are really good starting places, but it's very important that you explore other marketing channels, because Etsy is only good to the extent that people visit the Etsy website, they find your stuff on Etsy, and they actually make the purchase. It may not be the only place that people are looking, and I got to say this, it's really important when the people not only do online marketing, but they do offline marketing. So if you're an artist, you want to have, you know, if you're an artist, you want to have a gallery or someplace people can see your art, or art fairs, or you know, some kind of marketplace where people can physically see your art. And it's also very important that you have sales skills, because, you know, when people see your art, you want to be able to talk with them and help them appreciate the value of what went into the art.
And so,
you know, am I right?
Yes, you're right. It's so funny because when I'm an author and a motivational speaker, although I did sell my art online at one point. And when I wrote my second book, my fan base wanted that second book like there was no tomorrow, because they knew about I Win, my first book. And so now I'm on my third book, maybe my fourth book, under my own name, and now everyone is asking me, when's this book going to be out? When's this book going to be out? Because I do online marketing, I do offline marketing, I do every which way. And
well, that's smart. If you're just doing the online and you're not doing the offline, you're missing a huge amount of profit opportunity.
And how do you feel about direct marketing via a newsletter?
I have mixed feelings. You know, I mean, newsletters are something that have proven to work. Are you talking about an online or a physical newsletter?
I'm talking about an online newsletter through MailChimp, let's say.
Okay. Well, there's a difference between a letter and a newsletter. A newsletter is usually, you know, multiple combined messages in one message. Like in one email, you might have, you know, some quotes, and you have a letter, you have an article, you have many things going on. There's a Chinese saying that man who chases two rabbits catches none.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
So if you send out a newsletter and it's got three or four competing messages, you might not make very many sales at all. So what I do believe is in a focused sales letter that's got a, you know, it doesn't have to be a sales letter. It can just be information that's valuable, that builds trust and it builds the relationship. But, you know, one email with one headline covering one topic can give you one more focused message, so you can chase one rabbit instead of chasing multiple rabbits.
I'm not opposed to newsletters.
It's just, we, you know, when today we live in what's called an attention economy, and we are, you know, people if we don't have people's attention, we can't communicate with them. And so we have to, number one, get their attention. And the problem is many, many things are fighting for people's attention. And so if we send them a message that's too confusing, they may not buy from us at all, and they may stop reading our emails, and it's just not productive. So it's very important that every email goes out and it's got a good subject line and it really grabs their attention. And then when they read it, it gives them valuable, you know, and they say, wow, I like reading Wynn's emails. She really sends me cool stuff. Or I like reading Joe's materials because every time, you know, I read his material, he teaches me ways to get more customers, to pay me more money more often. He teaches me how to run my business. He teaches me how to succeed. Does that make sense?
Yes, that definitely makes sense. And how do you feel about implementing YouTube videos into your newsletters?
Like I said, we live in an attention economy. And if you can get people to not just see text on a page, but if you can give them more of an experience, I'm a big fan of YouTube. I have a YouTube channel. So youtube.com/mysterywizard. But, you know, it's just important for people to see your face and hear your voice. And, you know, you can use charts and diagrams. You know, you can do a lot more with video than you can do with text. And if people see your videos and they're always good, they always add value, then you're going to create more of a fan base, a loyal fan base. Maybe you'll create raving fans. And, you know, when you have raving fans, they'll tell their friends about it, and your YouTube channel can go viral. And there's just more you can do with video and audio than you can with just text alone. So I'm a big fan of YouTube.
Than you can with just text alone. And how do you feel about more contenting on a podcast like we're doing today?
I think podcasts are a good channel. You know, there's a lot of marketing methods, Wynn. The most important thing is that you need to have some kind of a strategy to not only get people to listen to a podcast, but to drive people towards, you know, buying more things from you more often. And, you know, there's different ways for people to find you. You don't need 40. The most important thing is you need one or two or three that really work for you.
That are good. That is good.
Yeah.
I have one podcast that I will not, some I will listen to, one in particular, I will not listen to because it's not good enough. It's not good enough from my standards anyway. And so the content in the podcast is what makes the podcast. And that's what I've found. And would you agree with my statement?
Yeah, I would. You know, people want to, they want to have a, if they go to your podcast, you know, if you have 50 podcasts up and they randomly chose one, and it was great. You know, if you put 50 great podcasts out, you know, and they find any of them random, they're like, oh, this is a good podcast. You know, I want to go listen to other episodes. You know, as long as you're putting good content out, then people will fall in love with you, and more people will want to hear your message.
So
here's the most important thing. You want to be education-based. You know, here's the deal, Wynn. There's a lot of information in the world. There's a lot. I mean, it's like information overload. And the truth is, people don't necessarily need more information. They need transformation. You know, they need that breakthrough. So podcasts and YouTubes are a great way to put general information out to people. And hopefully that will get them in. But in terms of what you're selling, you don't want to just sell information. You want to sell transformation. You know, people have all these books on success. They have all these books on public speaking. They have all these books on leadership. And yet they're not necessarily making money. And the reason why is because, you know, Napoleon Hill. You know Napoleon Hill?
Yeah.
Think and Grow Rich?
Yeah.
Napoleon Hill said something very brilliant. He said, you know, people don't need more books or tapes or seminars or sermons, you know. What they really need is a better use of what they've already got. And if you've got a lot already, and what people need is they need to learn how to use it better so that they can transform. You know, when you make the shift in yourself, you'll make a shift in your results at the cash register.
Yeah.
People will become more successful. They don't need more information to succeed. They need that missing piece so that they can have that breakthrough and they can transform, you know, from struggling into a well-oiled money-making machine.
Yeah, and I agree. And how can people get in contact with you if they want to get your magical powers here?
My superpowers?
Yes, your superpowers.
Okay, I have two websites I'd like to tell people about. One is, you know, if you do have a job and you're intrigued with the idea of starting your own business, you can go to employeeescapeplan.com, and there's a little form on the page where you just put in your name, your email, and a phone number, and I will give them a free initial consultation. So that's a website to just, you know, to sign up for a free consultation. Just go to employeeescapeplan.com. And then, you know, the site that I have a lot of information about me is joenicasio.com. That's JoeNicasio.com. And, you know, I've been on television. I've been on many radio interviews. You know, I do public speaking. I'm a professional speaker. I do sales training. If you go to joenicasio.com, you can find out a lot about me and, you know, who I am and what I'm all about and what I do. And, you know, there's a lot of resources there. So.
Wow. So one is your personal website. The other one is the employee escape plan. And the employee escape plan is something we're talking about today. And
yes,
it's starting your own company from the roots, from the ground up.
That's right. I believe children are born as geniuses, but they're conditioned into mediocrity. And children don't lack capacity, they lack the mentors. And so, you know, a lot of reasons people fail in business is because they were never mentored on how to do the fundamentals. And that's why I started Employee Escape Plan, was to provide a mentor program for people who lack the fundamentals, and they need the fundamentals, and they need to be mentored in the fundamentals. I believe success is inevitable if you do everything right. But the problem is not, you've never been taught how to do everything right. And that's what I'm here all about, is I'm here to mentor you on how to do everything right so you can succeed
and
when
I'll
you start up your business.
I'll leave it at that. And Blog Talk Radio just yelling at me 90 seconds. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to say your website one more time, and it's the employeeescapeplan.com, and you can go there and check it out for yourself. And I appreciate your time, Joe, on Women of Wisdom tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thank you.